Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 285, the 40 Acres Lot. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the great folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Hey, drop by over at Weavers and check things out. The Rio and Rogers Club, the Andy Griffith Show, Rio and Rogers Club, runs Weavers Department Store, so all the proceeds go directly to them. They keep Mayberry events happening all around the country. So go check out the Mayberry stuff they have over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. And tonight's episode is brought to you by my wife, Jan Newsom, because nobody donated anything. So I'll just let her be the executive producer. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting, the Andy Griffith Show fan podcast. Been doing this show for quite a while. We're up to 285. 285. Wow. 285 episodes of Two Chairs No Waiting. A lot of time spent with me and Mayberry, and I just want to thank you for taking time to do that. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the 40 Acres Lot, but before we do, we're going to hit a few listener feedback questions and items and stuff as we go through. And I think you're really going to enjoy them. We have several that we've been able to pick up on the last few weeks, months here. We've been doing several episodes that since I have actually done another listener feedback. So let's get started with those. Our first little bit of feedback comes in from Susan. And Susan had written in about episode number 280 is when she made the comment on a visit in Mayberry. And she said, Alan, you mentioned a few weeks ago that you were managing a website, the website activities before you were Floyd. She's talking about running imayberry.com and some of the other Andy Griffith Show websites is what she's referring to. She said, that surprised me, since it seemed like you were born as his younger twin. Thanks. Thank you, Susan. Could you talk a little bit about how you developed the performance as Floyd? And did you have to rehearse a lot? And did you practice mostly on car trips? Which artist did you work with the most? And did you have to change anything after you started performing? Well, that's a pretty good question. I think I may have answered it sometime in the past on some episodes, but you may not have seen them, or I may not have addressed those exact questions. So we'll talk about that. Now, in the back when I started doing this stuff, it's been quite a while. Let's see. I want to go through the questions as she asked them. Could you talk a little bit about how you developed your performance? Well, here's what I did. David Browning, I think I probably have mentioned this before, Barney, the guy who does Barney, he's the one that talked me into trying to do Floyd, and that occurred over a couple of weeks. I met him first at Mayberry Days in 1994, and then 93, and then in 1994, we went down to an event in Gordo, Alabama, and following that event, we were going out to eat with David. My wife and I were going out with him and a bunch of the chapter members from the Hearty Eating Men and Beautiful Delicate Women chapter of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And one of those was Ken Junkin, who does Otis now. Anyway, we were going out, and before we went, we were sitting around, and I was talking like Floyd. We were doing quotes from the show, really, which I'm sure you do. I mean, you guys love to quote things off the Andy Griffith Show just like I do. And I don't know about you, but when I quote things from the Andy Griffith Show, I tend to talk like whichever character, whether it be Briscoe Darling or Ernest T. Bass. You know, you try to do it. You ain't heard the last of Ernest T. Bass. So we were all doing our quotes and stuff, and I got to the one with Floyd, and I go, hey, yeah,
Did you see what it says on the sidewalk out there? Bobby Gribble hates him a lot. Yeah, can't you just see it back in high school? Bobby dipping her pigtails in the inkwell. Yeah, she could even with him now. Yeah.
Anyway, I was doing those quotes, and David loved it and talked me into doing doing Floyd at the next event we were at. He talked me into it when we went to the Mayberry Squad Car Nationals. No, it was a Mayberry Squad Car Rendezvous, which is now the Mayberry Squad Car Nationals. The Mayberry Squad Car Rendezvous in Bradford, Ohio. Jan and I went, and while we were there, I was dressed in my, shorts and a t-shirt, and Barney kept coming over and saying, "Hey, Floyd, talk to these people." So he'd get me to talk to people, and at the end of the event, he took me to the side and said, "Hey, you ought to try this one time." So what I did, driving home, Jan and I talked about it, and she convinced me to, "Yeah, you ought to do this." And so I kind of practiced. I love the Andy Griffith Show, so I wanted to do a good job. And I practiced. I tried to look in the mirror and go, "Hey, wretch. Yeah, you're a wretch. Floyd Lawson, you're deceitful." But it didn't work, because when you're looking in the mirror, you're looking in the mirror. So you behave different. So what I ended up doing, and how I actually practiced Floyd when I first started, was I set up a video camera and recorded myself doing Floyd. And then I would watch what I recorded, and then I would make adjustments to what I did based on what looked like Floyd and what didn't. And then I headed up to Mount Airy, North Carolina that year, and all right, the rest is kind of history. I got up there and was able to perform as Floyd with Ernest T. Bass and Barney. And there was only really Ernest T. and Barney. And at the time, Ernest T. was done by Phil Lee. And we had a great time dancing around on the streets and visiting with people. And she goes on to say that I rehearse a lot. I did, to begin with, rehearse a good bit. And did I practice on car trips? Well, no, because, driving down the road, you'd be, "Hey, there, wait. That would be a little bit, people might see you. So, did I change anything after I started performing? I did. When I first started performing as Floyd, I tried to walk a little bit more like Floyd, and it actually ended up hurting my knees. And yeah, I've changed things over the years. I feel like I've gotten a little bit better at being Floyd. And definitely over the last 20 years or so, which is, it's been 20 years since I started. I've gotten a lot more confidence in doing Floyd. And people, honestly, it's gotten to be in the same way with David Browning. When I see David do something as the Mayberry Deputy, that's just what Barney would have done. And I accept it. It's not a comparison anymore between Don and David and their performance as the Mayberry Deputy. David Browning is the Mayberry Deputy, and so whatever he does is what the Mayberry Deputy would do. And evidently what I do is somewhat like that with Floyd. People just accept that that's what Floyd would have done. And I have a problem, I admit, that I talk like Floyd even when I'm at home. I don't mean to, but according to Jan and Adam, who both testify, I still talk like Floyd at times. So I hope that answers your question, Susan, and thank you so much for calling in, or not calling in, writing in for that question. It was a chance for me to give a little bit of background. I'll go on to see what she said. She asked if I changed anything, or did Nurse Mary just put it in a needle and make it happen. She said, "Thanks so much for the podcast." So thank you again, Susan. And thanks. I really do appreciate it. Next up, we hear from Janet Anderson. Now, Janet had written in talking about the trivia we just had recently, the Mayberry Trivia for Fun, episode number 284. And she says, "As for who worked at the diner," now that was one of the questions, "who worked over at the diner?" And I asked that question, and I think I gave three answers. It was Juanita, Frank, and Flora were the answers I had said. And Janet's not the only one, but she was the first one to write in to me. She said, "Wouldn't that include Olive over at the diner?" And I believe it would. So thank you for that correction. It's an addition. If you had said Olive and I had heard you, I would have said, yes, that's right. But so you are right. Olive also worked over at the diner, I do believe. So thank you that. And she also said, love the Jim Nabors interview. It was worth waiting for. Jim sounded nice, real nice, and just as sweet as our beloved Gomer. And Mr. Nabors was extremely kind and extremely friendly. I mean, it was a great experience when I got to interview him. So thank you, Janet. We had talking about the episode 282, Mayberry in the Midwest in Danville, Indiana. David wrote in to say, hey, Alan, I really enjoyed this week's podcast, Mayberry in the Midwest. Thank you very much. So thank you, David. Thanks for taking time to write to me. I always love hearing from people. And now we're going to head over to talk about Retro Web and 40 Acres, which is what our focus was on. Now, this comes to us as a question, actually, from his name is Mark. And he had written to me, and he says this to say. He says, if you're a big fan of the Andy Griffith Show and a big fan of Gone with the Wind, like myself, Desilu Studios purchased the old RKO Selznick Studios. Andy's house in Mayberry sits beside the facade of Aunt Pity Pat's house there in on Gone with the Wind. So the facade for Aunt Pity Pat's house is the house right next to Andy's. And if you look at pictures, there's a website called Retro Web. I'm going to have links to it in the show notes. And if you look right beside it, you can actually see the garage of Andy's house. You'll be able to see that. If you watch the video, you can see there beside it. And there are several pictures over there. And he goes on to say, the house is used in some episodes with somebody sitting on the front porch or going in the front door, and in some episodes showing Mayor Stoner living there. Now, that was the one in the bed jacket. You remember that? You can definitely see it in that episode, the bed jacket. Mayor Stoner is in the second story window of the house, and Andy's yelling at him. You know, he's trying to trade the fishing pole, Eagle Eye Annie, for the bed jacket that the mayor had purchased, or the bed, because Andy wanted to give it to Aunt B. Anyway, you can see it, and that is Aunt Pity Pat's house from Gone with the Wind. Now, there's other old TV shows that showed it, and one picture they have on Retro Web is the old show, I don't know if you remember it, Land of the Giants, is that what it's called? I think that's what it's called. You can see, you know, where everybody was real big, except these people that had arrived on a spaceship and they were real little people, and they were always big people trying to catch them. Well, you can see it in that. There's a picture there of, you can see Aunt Pity Pat's house there. And if you look to the left, you will see Andy's front porch right there. So you can see that. And then there's some other episodes of other television shows. You'll be able to see it there. You'll see Aunt Pity Pat's house and Andy's house in the background. So there's a lot of really neat stuff there, including one that's a big long screenshot of Malcolm Merriweather riding through the town of Mayberry. And you can see he's fixing to ride by Aunt Pity Pat's house. And then Andy's house is just down the road. And Andy's actually standing there with the squad car. So, anyway, he goes on to say that he talks about Aunt Pity Pat's house. The house was used in some episodes of someone sitting on the front porch, as I said, and Mayor Stoner was living there. Also, furniture from I Love Lucy and the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour can be recognized if you have a sharp eye, if you watch Andy Griffith Show. I've never noticed that. So that's pretty cool. Now, when I was talking about here, thank you for writing in, by the way, Mark, and I really do appreciate it because it gives us a chance to talk about Retro Web. Now, if you guys have never been there, and if you're interested in 40 Acres, now 40 Acres is actually, according to Retro Web, a misnomer because it's actually only about 29 acres of land in Culver City, California, and it was used as a movie studio back lot beginning back in 1926 by Cecil DeMille. You've heard that that person before. And he leased the property, and they began utilizing it to make all kinds of films, silent films, including, you know, King Kong in 1927 was made there. And there's a large Jerusalem temple and town were constructed there. Anyway, there's all kinds of different things that are related to the 40 acres back lot. And if you go to retroweb.com/40acres, and the number, it's the number 40acres.html, it'll take you directly to the 40 acres information. Now, we'll have a link to that on the website. And so you'll be able to read all about it and visit the site. There are so many details that you'll be able to find there. There's early years. It shows all kinds of, he has all kinds of pictures of the 40 acres lot when it was brand new, and different sets like the Temple of Jerusalem set from King of Kings. Did I say King Kong? King of Kings in 1927, not King Kong. I just saw King and said Kong. Wow. King of Kings in 1927 with a Jerusalem set. There's all kinds of wonderful photos there of the times where the 40 acres lot had been used. So it's definitely worth going and checking it out. Now, of course, that's in the early years of it. You can head over and watch the Desilu years, and you're going to recognize a lot of things, because 40 acres, there was a Midwestern town, there's Chicago Street, there was the Gone with the Wind Terra Mansion was there. From Gone with the Wind, the Railroad Depot from Atlanta, war sets, Western towns, all kinds of stuff there. And you'll be able to see them, and you'll recognize a lot of the sets as you start scrolling through the pictures. You're going to see, of course, Andy Griffith's show. You know that was filmed there. There's all kinds of shots of movies and stuff that you would have seen. Of course, the Andy Griffith Show, as I said, in 1965, there's a really nice aerial view of the back lot that you can check out that shows you where everything was located, like the town of Mayberry. She points it out specifically. So I definitely want to encourage you to take some time to head over there, because they've worked so hard on this set, just developing all the different Mayberry sets. They have pictures there from Star Trek, the original series. And actually, you can look at it and you can see in the background the Mayberry Hotel. That's the Mayberry Hotel in the background that you would see. There's, of course, Hogan's Heroes was filmed there. You know, I love all these old classic TV shows like the Stalag 13 for Hogan's Heroes. There's a lot of those. Wally's Service Station in Gomer Pyle, Camp Henderson. It was there. Gomer Pyle USMC, Camp Henderson, you know, the Quonset huts that Gomer was in. They're there. Now, you can actually buy DVD sets of these pictures that are extremely high quality, and you can buy them right there on RetroWeb, and they have examples of some of the amazing shots you'll see. As we were talking about Aunt Pity Pat's house, I had grabbed a screenshot from RetroWeb so you'd be able to see what they look like. And so I want to thank them for letting us do that. And I definitely want to encourage you to go over there, check out all their stuff, because they have, as I said, this is they have Desilu stuff there. They have a virtual tour, which if you go and look at it, it's great. They show the residential streets. They even have done 3D animations of the, or 3D drawings, recreations, CAD drawings of the Andy Griffith Show set. Now, this is all 40 acres, and they call it the lost studio backlot of the movie and television fame. And there's an entire guided tour of all of Mayberry and the backlot sets and different movies and TV shows that it was on, from Mission Impossible to Land of the Giants. The Untouchables, they filmed there, the original series. And I mean, it's just Batman was filmed there. The Superman, the Adventures of Superman were filmed there. There's just so many wonderful memories that you'll get if you go over to retroweb.com. So I beat that horse to death, but I want to encourage you to go and check it out, because they really have worked so hard on these things and have such a wonderful collection of shots. Like, there is a shot there. It's a virtual high angle view of Mayberry that they actually drew. It's a drawing, a CAD drawing that they actually recreated the streets of Mayberry right there in the drawing. And some of the things that they have on there, as you look around, will be shots that you would have never actually seen on the Andy Griffith Show or any other show for that matter, because they recreated it, the entire studio backlot, in CAD, and they can actually go to any point in the CAD drawing and look at it. They even have a picture of the Mayberry Courthouse at night. So it's lit up at night so you can see the courthouse lights that you see on the front of the courthouse, those globe lights actually on, and they're shadowed and everything. It's like things you've never seen before from the Andy Griffith Show. Like, for instance, looking from kind of behind the courthouse, you know, there's always these big wooden doors that you can kind of see off beside the feed and grain place. Well, they actually have a drawing of it that kind of shows you what it actually looked like back in those days. I just can't say enough about all the great work that they've done there and how much I want to encourage you to head over to retroweb.com and check it out. All right, so let's go on to our next question. And the last question, I do believe, said, this was interesting. We did episode number 269 on Burt Mustin, if you'll remember that. And Burt Mustin, they talked about what we were talking about there. Susan wrote in to say, I think you mentioned Burt being discovered by A. William Wyler. That is such an interesting story. William Wyler, which I did not know who he was, not Wilder, is one of the most famous and renowned film directors of all time. He directed Ben-Hur, Detective Story, Roman Holiday, Funny Girl, and many, many more, and won Best Director Oscar 3 times. He directed most Hollywood royalty in the 1950s through 70s, and it is such an amazing image to see him seeking out a 67-year-old actor, maybe not so glamorous, and setting him on a major career with his film Detective Story. I really do appreciate, Susan, that you wrote in to tell us about that. I never knew who William Wyler was. It's W-Y-L-E-R, and I evidently had said Wilder, W-I-L-D-E-R, when I was reading it. So I just want to thank her for taking the time to point that out to us. And, folks, I love hearing from you guys, so I would love to hear from you. So give me a call at 888-684-8415 or drop me an email at floyd@imayberry.com or just give me a call. Either way, however you want to do it, I'd love to hear from you. And until next time, folks, you guys have a great week, and we'll see you next time right here on Two Chairs No Waiting. Good night, everybody.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.